For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for Tips from the Past in episode 54.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Welcome back, ATA Nation. My name is Senior Master Zach Hayden. I am your host for the podcast. I am thrilled to be back with you again today. I hope you have had an excellent week of training and goal setting and just getting ready to achieve new levels in your training. We've got so much awesome stuff going on this summer, and we are one more week closer to district championships all over the country. So much fun is going to be had that weekend. I know I've got students gearing up for it. I'm excited for it. We are, just continue to train. And then that just sets us up for world championships, and world championships sets us up. I'm so excited I can't even talk for the next tournament season. Hey, speaking of the next tournament season, if you are anywhere near Indiana, okay, July the 30th, I am hosting a regional tournament in Auburn, Indiana. It's up northeast Indiana. We would love to have you come join us at our Be Uncommon. That's kind of the theme of our tournament. It goes with a quote from Washington T. Booker. Excellence is to do a common thing in an uncommon way. So we want to be uncommon. Our regional tournament starts July the 30th. It's going to be an awesome event. We want you to join us in Auburn, Indiana. Make sure, if you got nothing going on that weekend, we would love to have you join us for, one of the first tournaments around for the new tournament season. Now, speaking of tournaments, we are Booker T. Washington is the name of that guy. Silly me. Mrs. Hayden just corrected me because she heard me recording. Thank you, Mrs. Hayden, for correcting me with the quote. I got a little dyslexia going on or something. I don't know. Anyways, today's episode is going to be a classic replay. Now, just because it's a replay doesn't mean you shouldn't listen. We have a lot of new listeners since this episode played last year, and it's got a lot of things in it that you can still really benefit from. We're going to have here an interview with Master Rosa about preparing his athletes for combat stick sparring, some of the drills, some of the things he does to work on preparing his athletes for combat stick sparring for districts, worlds, new season, things like that. So I think you will really enjoy this if you haven't listened before. And if you have heard it before, it is worth listening to again and getting some of those tips and tricks back into your brain and into your training schedule. So let's get started.
Special guest interview.
So, ATA Nation, welcome. We have with us today the first repeat guest we've ever had. Congratulations, sir. Master Rosa, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, sir, and I'm just so excited to get to be on here and to talk to our wonderful ATA Nation with you again.
Awesome. Well, sir, I wanted to have you on because we're doing this series of tips and tricks and things for people to get ready for heading out to Arizona for world championships. And really, though we've already started the tournament season, summertime is often a time people start thinking about this tournament season and kind of going on. So combat stick sparring, I know your Bartlett brawlers are awesome. What are you got your guys working on right now for combat stick for tournaments?
Well, you know, when it comes to any type of events, whether it's forms, weapons, sparring, or combat, you know, conditioning is really important. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of time in our classes and in our training specifically for our teams focused on conditioning. And that's not just cardio. For combat, we do a number of different conditioning drills to, you know, help with wrist strength, to help with forearm strength, you know, to make sure the shoulders are strong because they're going to be hitting and they're going to be hitting a lot. And so I can't emphasize enough just that conditioning aspect. It's not always about sparring and calling points and doing things like that. You've got to make sure your body is ready to go and ready to go over and over again, because the person with the best conditioning, if you got two people with equal technique and one person's noticeably better conditioned, you're going to have the winner right there.
So you're really, conditioning wise, I'm sure you're doing a lot of those repetitive strikes on the bag, really working that those two arms, probably both sides, getting that, like you said, that wrist, that forearm, that shoulder strength, going, just making people do a bunch of reps of those kind of things for that conditioning.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Doing the rapid fire strikes, mm-hmm. you know, just working on that wrist and forearm, doing lots of fan techniques, trying to get a big wrist rotation just to make sure that they can snap a quick shot out to take the hand on a strike where somebody's trying to get them and they're trying to intercept with that quick fan strike, just really working those wrists some, right? Got the guys, you know, doing some minor weight stuff, nothing real heavy, but just something to make sure those arms are staying really strong. Lots of push-ups, you know, working the ankle bands, but using them for different drills on the wrists, you know, just anything we can do to really work those arms and to make sure that those strikes are just blazingly, blindingly fast.
I was just going to ask, you know, that conditioning, is that your biggest suggestion for speed? I mean, speed is such an integral part of combat stick sparring. Is it that just repetition? What's another way you're working on some speed?
Well, you know, one of the drills that my son did when he won his first world title a couple years ago, one of the things that he did leading up to it were a lot of the same drills that we're currently doing, like the rapid fire strikes and just hitting the bag with the basic stripes. But what he did is he used incrementally heavier sticks while he was practicing on the bag. So while he might have started with the combat stick, then he might have moved to one of the more traditional Pro-Tec sticks, which is a little heavier. Then he moved to those red Pro-Tec sticks, you know, the ones that I'm talking about.
Sir.
They're really heavy. And we got him some wood sticks. You know, I think we had an oak stick back at the back that was pretty heavy. And he finally ended, you know, stopped doing these types of drills maybe a week or two before Worlds. But he ended on a lead pipe that he was using hit the bag with. And, you know, he had this big forearm. He looked like Popeye. Everybody was joking with him. But changing that weight of the stick. And then when he went to actually combat spar with the students or with his other classmates, he just went back to the regular lightweight combat stick, and it just moved so fast because he had conditioned his arm to using a much heavier stick while he was practicing.
Yes, sir. A little like you see the guys in the baseball pit holding two bats, swinging two or three bats or whatever. Some of those practice bats that are extra big, using something heavier to continue to build up that force. And then when you go back to that easy one, it's like your arm is weightless.
Yes, absolutely. He kept breaking the sticks over and over again. We had to bring him like 10 sticks. His sparring bag was full of sticks when he came to the sideline because he was worried he was going to be breaking them. But,
I'm sure.
But, you know, he was really on his game that year, more so than any other year I've seen him, because he put in that extra effort and was really trying to just figure out what can he do to separate himself just by a little bit? Because that's all you need. When you've got these two elite competitors or these three elite competitors that are going against each other, and any one of them have a chance to win, the people that put that little bit of extra effort, that little bit of extra work, that can be what separates the winner and the loser in that final match.
Yes, sir. Now, I think something that's underestimated in all kinds of sparring, I talked to Master Isaacs about this in a couple episodes past, but footwork. Do you have any drills that you're having your guys do or just regularly working on that combat footwork?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the footwork in both regular sparring and combat sparring is incredibly important. Controlling the distance in the match is gonna oftentimes determine who wins the match. And so one of the things that our people do on a regular basis are just imagine one-legged hops for distance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Really just working on explosive, that plyometric training of trying to explode off of one foot, seeing how far forward you can go. Because when you're in your sparring stance and you want to shoot across the ring for that first big strike, having that lunging speed off of one foot where you don't adjust and you just accelerate forward, that's something that some of my good offensive guys have really gotten good at, and they've got that long reach. And so, like I said, one-legged hops, just going for distance, forward and backwards and side to side, are going to work different muscle groups that are going to help with that explosiveness. And also, while you're just sparring with, while you're combat sparring with your other person, something that can help with distancing is playing a game where your whole goal is to never let the other person be within striking range of you. Okay. So if you get out there playing with them, you're not even worried about scoring points this day. What you're focused on is keeping that gap, maintaining that gap. And what they're focused on doing is trying to sneakily get into your space. And that forces you to start moving your feet a little bit more and doing different things with your feet and discovering different levels of footwork that'll allow you to stay away from the other person.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I have this is a personal question for your combat footwork. Do you find that you have your students square their toes up a little bit different in combat than regular sparring? Do you have your guys rotated a little more straightforward so they have that, you know, that extra quarter inch, that extra inch?
Yes, sir.
When you're sparring?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and absolutely we do. When we teach our combat sparring stance, it's not quite the same as our traditional sparring stance. You know, I grew up traditional point sparring in the ATA, and it was always a very sideways stance.
Yes, sir.
Because we were taking away body targets. You know, we had a very limited number of body targets, and we knew the person could hit me in these very particular areas. And so the less that I wanted to expose to my opponent, the less opportunities it gave them to hit me. And strategically, I knew which direction the techniques were more likely to come from because I knew where my body targets were facing. Well, with combat, that game changed completely because it doesn't matter where they hit you, you're yes, going to get a point for it. So in that case, we do. We rotate those hips a little bit. We turn that back foot in some so that we've got more of a position to move forward or to move backwards because we don't need to worry about keeping our chest and stomach away from the other person.
Yes,
we don't have to worry about where they're going to hit us. We just need to make sure we're hitting them first. That's what it all comes down to.
And I've noticed, like you said, with that lunging forward, backwards, that drill you've got him doing, do you have something working on that that front leg, the evade, you know, for that front leg, that fast speed with that front leg? I know Senior Master Kaminsky is big on that, the taps with the feet, moving it sideways, moving it forward and backwards. A drill like that, is that something that you guys got your guys doing as well?
Absolutely. And what we basically do, because you know, and part of me has a little advantage of this because I go to a lot of tournaments and I get to see a lot of combat sparring, but we try to take some of the techniques that we consider to be the techniques that are scoring most often, the techniques that people are throwing most often, like that quick backhand strike to the front leg. You know, that scores a lot of points in tournaments. That quick backhand strike to the head, that scores a lot of points. And our guys will train specifically trying to develop muscle memory in how to avoid or how to intercept those very particular techniques. And so we'll spend, you know, a chunk of class just focus on, okay, you know, American flag side, you're going for the backhand strike to the leg. Korean flag side, you've got to take the leg and you've got to intercept the hand at the same time. You know, and we just let them do it over and over and over, different distances. You know, let's do it from far apart, let's do it from close together, let's get you used to what it feels like. And they'll just drill those common techniques, because, you know, it all comes back down to the basics. You know, everybody likes to do all the crazy cool stuff, but there's only a couple techniques that are consistently scoring over and over and over again on all opponents. And those, in my opinion, are the first ones that your people A, need to be good at, because if they're scoring, they're going to score for them too.
Yes,
like if it works, it works. And if we know it's working, we have to be able to defend against it, to be able to take it away from the other person, because it's going to get used on you. So I see people doing some crazy strikes out there sometimes, but The ones that my guys are typically winning matches with are much more basic, with the goal being who's the best at that basic strike, who's yes, the sir. Best at that basic defense.
Well, it's the famous Bruce Lee quote about not afraid of a guy who knows 1,000 kicks. I'm afraid of a guy who's done one kick 1,000 times.
You got it. And that's it. I mean, you just, if you know this guy's going to wear your leg out, then you have to have that defense, that muscle memory just programmed in you to be able to take that leg away.
And, yes, sir.
You know, and that's the other biggest advice I've got for anybody getting ready for combat spars. You need a combat spar. You know, you gotta put on the gear, you gotta get out there and you gotta hit each other and you gotta do it often. You know, I know some schools don't combat spar as regularly as others. You know, we do it on a very regular basis. We alternate in our curriculum each week. If it's a traditional sparring week this week, the next week it's combat sparring. Next week it's traditional sparring. We just alternate back and forth. So all of our students get an equal exposure to both traditional sparring and combat sparring. And we spar during every class every day.
Yes, sir.
And so having that equal exposure, I think, helps. And so I just recommend if people are getting ready to combat spar, find some folks to combat spar and do it a bunch.
Get
used to it.
Yeah. Yep. Conditioning. And then regular practice, just doing it. And how do you talk to your guys? You know, especially younger kids are so much wanting to do. They're like, I got this move down. I want to do something new. And like you said, it's that consistency of practicing those couple of techniques a bunch. You know, what is your what do you do to get those kids and those, you know, teens or whoever to understand that, like, no, you need to do this like 2 million more times?
You know, we try in all of our classes to create a healthy competitive environment. We think competition is healthy. We think it's good for people to want to win, you know, and to learn how to deal with things when things don't go their way and when they don't win. And so basically, our guys are all the time calling points against each other. Our guys are all the time actually sparring like it's a tournament in the school. And it takes that guy who thinks he's got the technique and you put him against somebody that eats him alive because he doesn't really have the technique. And it just shows him real fast. You don't have it. You think you've got it and you might have it. You might do well against this person. But what if we put you against this person? And until you can create those consistent results against multiple competitors, multiple athletes of different ranks, sizes, heights, body types, you know, I think it just gives them a very stark realization that they're not as fast as maybe they thought they were. You know, you put them against that fast guy, call a couple points and say, okay, go back to working on your defense.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. Sir. The proof is in the pudding that way.
Excellent. Yeah, they're, and that's what it is. Proof is in the pudding. They yes, get to sir. See it for themselves.
Well, sir, these are some great tips. I know a bunch of people are going to listen to this and get right back to combat stick sparring, despite not wanting to do those fast tap strikes on the bag. I know they need to get out there and do a couple hundred more on each arm and go from there. So I want to thank you for your time again today, sir. Some great tips, and we look forward to seeing you in Arizona.
Hey, well, I was happy to get to talk to you, and I look super forward to seeing you guys there, too. It's going to be a blast.
Thank you, sir. Well, ATA Nation, I know there were some great tips in there. I hope you enjoyed the replay. I know, ignore some of the dates and stuff about Worlds and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, we've got information for the 2022 year, but the training tips are fantastic. Definitely something that we need to all think about incorporating into our training as we get ready for districts and world championships. Lots of upcoming events around the country. Basically, you need to make sure you're paying attention online to the ATA's social media. Make sure you're following them on Instagram, on Facebook. You're going to get the up-to-date information. Make sure you're getting their emails. Every once in a while, I check my spam box because somehow I sometimes get some ATA stuff going in there, and I do not want that because I want to be up-to-date, make sure I know when everything's going on. There is still time to register for things, events, trainings at world championships, you want to make sure that you get registered. I'm excited. There's going to be some awesome training there. I'm taking the ATA Max curriculum, the ATA Thrive seminar, which I just can't wait for. That's going to be so much. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have so many notes and so many things that I want to do when I come back that it's just going to overwhelm me. I'm just going to have to pick and choose. So with that, make sure that you guys are checking out ATAMartialArts.com as well as staying up to date with those social media posts. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got another great episode for you guys next week. Make sure, can I ask you to do a favor for me, please? Please, pretty please. Okay. Take this as if you're a lower rank than me, just take this as an order that a senior master told you to do this. Okay. So you just do it because I said so and you say yes, sir, and it'll be fine. This is what I want you to do. Share the podcast online. Share the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't care where you share it. I'd love you to share it with your school, your friends in ATA Nation, so we can grow the audience, have even more awesome guests on, hear more of your stories, and just grow ATA Nation and our impact. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, make that sure you are out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
It might be a replay, but man, there's some gold nuggets in there. We definitely, I'm glad we've got that information from Master Rosa, and definitely something to look back at and train with. And for a lot of you guys, you know, what NBC used to say, if you haven't seen it before, it's new for you, you know? So, hopefully you got something good out of there. Let me know. Okay. Take care.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.